Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Team of Voices. I'm your host, Crystal Hope, and that song was called Faded War by Josh Woodward. I found it on YouTube a while back, in case anyone's curious. Tonight we're going to be doing the typical few days before Valentine's Day type poetry, kind of. But I kind of gave some options. You could write love, or you could write love when those little butterflies that you get, which if anyone knows me, especially in this group, they know I adore butterflies. So it could be either the two, but I think we've all experienced at one time or another falling in love and you get those little butterflies fluttering around in your stomach and you have no idea what they are. Yeah, I'm just rambling now. That's what the show's going to be about. It's going to be a bunch of poetry about love, butterflies, or both, or whatever we got going on today. I do have a person that has been on hold listening to music, and I know she called Monday night, and I'm glad that she is calling in my show to read. I'd like to go ahead and pick up the phone line for Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi.
It's good that finally, I listened to the show actually just, Deb's show on Monday. I listened to it a few hours ago, and I heard you read. I really wanted to hear it. And you were really good. You sounded much better than I did when I first read all these shows. I sounded terrible.
Thank you.
But I'm glad you're here. And let me also grab Deb, because I can't leave, you know, the whole owner of A Team of Voices outside the door. Hi, Deb.
Hi. How you doing?
It's going all right. I got you and Allie here and stuff like that. Anybody got any Valentine's plans, even though it's Super Bowl weekend coming up? That's what I don't understand.
Not
how
really.
The Super Bowl is the same as Valentine's Day almost, same weekend. I bet there's some angry women out there.
Probably.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, I figure there's some women that are really excited about it. I could care less about either one of the events. I don't really watch football, and I don't really like Valentine's Day. So it'd just be a typical weekend for me. But I thought
Valentine's
it was odd,
Day
though, when I saw that.
Yeah, well, what they do is raise the prices on a dinner for two, and you try to go out, and it's packed, and it's commercial hype.
It is. It really is. I tell people all the time that, like, the real way of showing love is showing love every day, not just one. I mean, I think it's nice to have one particular day where you can do something nice for that person, but it doesn't have to be on February 14th. It could be on October 2nd. It could be on June 10th. It doesn't matter what day it's on.
I agree.
That's kind of what I say.
Yeah, I said bah humbug.
Frank was saying on the board, he said some bloody Valentine, perhaps.
Well, I don't know if I want to go that far, Frank. Damn. I'm suddenly hearing that
mean
breath thing that he does.
I know what he means.
Dramatic read.
The thing is that I'm surprised that he's saying that, because how much love poetry I read from Frank is what drives me, like, where I'm like, I think he would like the holiday, actually. But maybe I'm wrong. And I could see a lot of women going head over heels for his voice, too. Like, imagine him reading a love poem for them. They probably fall head over heels. I don't know. Oh, he said just kidding. Okay. We also got Heavenly Angel, or Sandy, out on the board. She says she's listening. I figured this is right up her alley. That's the queen of romance right there.
And Kay's listening, or she said she was.
I figured she was, too. I know she normally either listens during or after her and Steven. But they typically don't call on Wednesday shows, because they have a show typically right after mine, which I love their shows that they do on Wednesdays, the Poetic Inkling, because that's kind of right up my alley. But, yeah.
Yeah, I love the topics there, too.
Yeah. I'd say if I write for any of their shows, those are the ones that I do, because Mondays are normally horror or more dark. I have to be in the mood to write that, or something like that. And occasionally, most of the time, I'll do Thursday shows occasionally. Friday, typically, I'm busy, and I'm not always paying attention to Friday. But, I'd say Wednesdays are the show I would pick over theirs normally.
Kay said
she
and
too.
Steven are listening to the show.
Did I know if you were listening? Hey, guys.
I guess, what it's going to be tonight, it's going to be all of us just talking and then listening, I guess. But we all miss your voices. I'm speaking to you, Frank and Sandy and Kay and Steven. can't call. No, I'm kidding. I don't mind. I have been that person. Normally, I'm that person that doesn't listen during. I'm that person that listens afterwards. I was just telling Allie a second ago that I was listening to Monday's show because I really wanted to hear her read, and I hated that I didn't get a chance to call in and hear her read. So, but I heard her. I told her she did, like, really well considering I don't think I did good at all. I sounded very nervous when I first started reading on podcasts. But, yeah, it's an adjustment. I still don't even think I read aloud that well or even, like, talk really well.
I disagree. I think you read very well. And you write even better.
I also try and be like Skye as well, because I know Skye, she typically says she practices before she reads. I do the same thing. Well, typically when I write, too, I don't know if anybody else does this when you write poetry, but I guess because I rhyme a lot, I normally read the poem aloud. Like, I'll read, when I finish a stanza, I'll read the stanza, and if it flows, like, really nicely, I'll keep it. But if it doesn't have that certain flow where I'm like, I'll, like, try and change up the lines. But usually I'll read every poem I write aloud first because I want to make sure it sounds good. So,
right.
I don't know if anybody else does that or not. And it might just be a rhyming thing.
I don't, like, as far as somebody else's poem, I never read them before the show because I like to get the first impression. And I
don't do that too.
Practice mine. I'm just trying to think. I don't really read them out loud first. And I know for years, Gress has been telling me that I should, but I just don't.
A lot of people do. Yeah, I think he does read his aloud too. I think he's told me that before.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, Stephen Spinner sounds really good. I'm not kind of jealous now.
Oh, yeah, Allie, it gets crazy with Stephen. He loves food. He and I have had several late-night conversations talking about food for the past, like, 2-3 years. It's crazy. Yeah, if you ever hear him talk about, like, some crummy cake or gas station sushi, just ignore it. It's just ongoing jokes that never end. The crummy cake one was one that he was saying he's eating a cake, and I said, oh, that sounds so good. And then after he ate it, apparently it was bad or something, or just, I don't quite remember, but I just know that. But,
Angel said, Deb, if you're going to hang around, will you eat for me?
I probably would have their place for Angel anyway.
So I need to know why Frank is waiting for you to give him a donut.
I don't know.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I don't know.
Where is my little sis? I don't hear her anymore.
Who?
Can y'all hear me?
I can hear you.
Deb, can you still hear me?
Do you hear me? Should I hang up and call back?
I hear you, Deb.
I hear her, too.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. I don't know if Deb's having issues with her phone. I'm going to say, I can hear Allie. I can hear Deb. I don't know what's going on. Right. Well, I do have another caller, though. I'm trying to remember who this one is. I got a 603. I wonder who that is. I have no idea.
I don't know. Frank said hint, hint. So is it Frank?
That is not Frank. I know who it is. I'm just teasing them.
Yeah, right.
I do. I knew it was you. I was like, I'm just going to be Sky. I'm just going to. I knew it was you. I was like, I'm just going to be there.
Can you hear me?
Deb is back on. Hopefully we hear her. Deb, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Did you hear me before?
I don't know what was going on with that. I could hear Allie. I could hear you. I can hear Sky. I don't know.
It was weird. Everything was fine, and then all of a sudden I couldn't hear anything, and then I didn't want to keep talking in case you guys could hear me. But whatever, I can hear you now. And did I hear Sky?
You were talking, actually, and we heard you. Me and Ella were like, yeah, Deb, we can hear you. Are you there? Like, we kept going.
I feel like we're in that service commercial that says, can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
I remember those Verizon commercials. Oh, gosh, I remember those a lot. I remember a lot of the old cell phone commercials. But that one was one that you would hear. And then he went to Sprint, the guy that did Verizon commercials. And I don't even know what he's doing now. I ain't gonna make a scene in a long time. That's bad. That's what that guy is known for, cell phones. Poor guy. Like, he's done so many cell phone commercials. All right, well, it looks like I've got a full room now, and I probably need to start poetry. So do I have anybody on here that needs to read and run, or is it my, or can I pick a random poem? Or?
As long as I read by 10, I'm good.
Oh, no, I would definitely have you read before then.
Sky, can you see the chat wall?
Yes, I can see it. Kneel before God. Can you hear me now, Stephen? I just want to say hi to Allie, too. We've never been on here together. Hello.
Hello. It's nice to hear your voice. I don't think I've ever heard your voice. I heard Deb's last, well, on Monday, but I don't think I've heard yours or Crystal. Well, I've heard Crystal's. I haven't heard yours.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably have heard mine before, but Sky sometimes is, you'll hear her sometimes, but occasionally, she got stuff now going on. We all know. Because I say, she'll normally tell me, like, Crystal, I never hear your voice. Where are you? She'll normally tell me that anytime. If I call on her podcast or on someone else's and she's there and she's like, where have you been? But, okay, I'm just giving her a hard time. All right, let me go ahead and grab a poem. Allie, since you are our guest and was the first caller, I'll go ahead and let you read. And I might just go ahead and do that in an order or something. But I do not want to get people on the board read as well, like Stephen and Kay and Sandy. And I know that she said, darling, I can't stay long, so I'll definitely get Sky in there, too. So, Allie, whenever you're ready.
When you said butterflies, I took butterflies as a total different meaning, so the bottom of my poem may not make sense, but we're going to go with it. I said, 18, well, it's a team of voices and the power of love. A team of voices is some of the most loving and caring people I've ever met. The people in a team of voices are so nice to me. They really appreciate the poems that others write, and they never seem to really get upset about them. They're always positive. Deb, the owner, she loves butterflies. She has inspired me to love butterflies as well, maybe not for the same reasons, but still. Butterflies are loving. When in doubt, butterflies are always around you. A team of voices is always here for me. I love you all, and that was hard to say because I wasn't always loved by others. But Deb and Crystal and David and Joe and lastly Kay and Stephen and Frank have all taught me how to ask for what I need without getting too nervous, anxious, or upset.
I can't say that this doesn't put a big smile on my face because, Allie, I know how you feel. My whole story with with a team of voices was back in the beginning of, actually it was late 2018. And I actually was in another podcast, which I'm not going to say the name or anything like that, but it was fine in the beginning, and then after a while I felt secluded. I didn't exactly feel like I fit in there. And I had seen a team of voices on the group and stuff like that, and I already knew a couple of people that were in the group. And so I went ahead, and then I saw that they did podcasts too, and I was like, oh, well, I should try that. But normally I got nervous, and I wasn't entirely sure. But in the beginning, I just, for about, I think like about a few weeks, I kind of just laid low. I didn't really call in or anything like that. I didn't want to. And then one night, I think it was for Sweet Pea's show, I ended up calling in, which I called in too late because I already read my poem. But but right after that, it was just kind of like where I met Kay and Steven, and then I was Sweet Pea and Hatter, and Sky and a whole bunch of other people, and Dave and stuff like that. I couldn't name all the names of people I know in the group, but they all really mean like a whole lot to me and stuff. And after finding out how much Deb loves purple and butterflies, we were like two peas in a pod. So, and I know what you mean, because when I joined the group, I had just gotten over the breakup, and it was really hard for me. So coming to them and doing podcasts all the time, it was my way of like helping me, like realizing that there was more in me, and my poetry began to grow as well. Like, it expanded a lot. Everybody here can tell you that I started out, like, not that great, and then it just expanded. So I really love your poem, and I think that it's a really beautiful thing that this group does, and I'm glad that you have people around, because people say stuff about people online that sometimes are not exactly the best people to be around, or like you can run into, which is true, you can run into a lot of hateful people or people that like to spam or things like that, but you can run into good people that'll be there, because there's several people, I've been on this fight for about 8 years, and there's several people that I know, and I may not know them personally, but I do have known them for years, and when I see them, it's like, I still have a connection with them, and I think that that's a beautiful thing. But I really like your poem, and I'm glad that the group is helping you just like they have me. So I know I just did a really long comment, and I need to let other people comment. But first, I need to let Frank in the group or into the call, because I completely forgot about him. I'm sorry, Frank.
Oh, that's no problem there. Can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
All right, that's good. Do you want me to comment, or do you want me to wait?
I would.
Yes, I just want to say, Ali, this was a wonderful tribute, a dedication that you offer here. I really am taken aback. I would say I'm very much flattered by this poem here, not really for myself, but for the sentiments you express here for the rest as well. You know, I was listening to what Crystal was saying about being in a group. You know, I have to concur with that. You know, this is one of these groups as well that I am very fond of, as well as with Stephen and Kay's group, and perhaps others as well. But I do echo those sentiments there. You know, when you find a group that you can share a camaraderie with, you know, friendships, perhaps not to the level where you meet that person, but you still feel a connection, you know. Sometimes we think that, you know, because we don't meet that person or we're not, you know, it's not a person-to-person, you know, relationship or a friendship like that, but it's not, it means nothing. I think on the contrary, I would think that any connection you have with people, even on through this forum here or even in the group, is always one to be, you know, to accept and smile, in particular when you have when you have such a fond relation with other people who not only are fellow poets or poetesses, but also are fellow human beings who, you know, experience like that, you know, things very much similar, you know, to others. And that's what makes this group here very much in that regard very distinctive. And I'm glad that you wrote this poem thinking of of all of us here, or not just myself, as I said before, but all of us who collaborate here in this group and offer, you know, our advice, help, or even our poetry with each other.
Kind of interesting. Like, I'm not going to go into much detail because I went into it on Monday's show. And I don't want to make it negative. When I first started out at ATOB, I got myself kicked out because, yeah, I was a crazy teenager. But it was kind of really nice because Deb kept in touch with me even though I had caused some jumbling. And when I came back, she was just very supportive of me. And then I actually discovered Kay because I had messaged her when I was going through a lot. And she was very supportive and opening to the point where she sent me poems that I could relate to. So that's how Kay and I became friends. And then Crystal and David had commented on my poem last week or 2 weeks ago. So I kind of adopted Crystal and David into my circle. And then talking in Spanish on the board in the morning, even though not everyone can understand what we're saying, Frank, is kind of what got you brought into my circle. And Steven's in the circle, well, Steven's is Kay's husband, and I mean, really, Jo's just in my circle because she's also autistic, and it's just nice to have someone that, like, I can confide in when everyone else, not when everyone else, but when the teens are picking on me. So it's just been a really nice group to be in, and if I wasn't encouraged to read my poems out loud, I wouldn't be. But next Monday's poem is also special, but no peeking.
I never peek. For all the peekers out there, don't peek. Thank you, Frank, for that comment, and thank you, Allie, for
welcome.
I'm going to get you a couple more comments, and then we're going to go to the next poem. I'm going to get a comment from Deb.
Awesome. Yeah, I think this came out really sweet, Allie, and I like how you mentioned that I love the butterflies, and now they've intrigued you as well. And I like the fact that you have your little circle and you were listing them all. And I'm hoping that when you were writing them and saying how they are special to you, I hope you're realizing that you're pretty truthful to all of us on that list as well. And as far as what happened before, that's water under the bridge. You worked your little butt off to make everything work out, and I'm proud of you for that, and I'm glad you're back, and I think your poem came out fantastic.
Thank you.
Great comment, Deb. And Guy, I give you the last comment, and then I got your poem out on the board.
Oh, thank you. I thought this was beautiful, and I don't know how quite old you are, but you sound quite young, and I love to see younger poets. Yeah, it's still quite young. I love to see younger poets, because I remember I started writing when I was 11. I was 11 years old, and there wasn't really any type of forum for poets until I got maybe in high school, and then there was like a club of writers, not just poetry, but of writers in general. And I immediately clung to that because there wasn't anything really like that around when I was younger. And I just think how wonderful it is to have you know, these younger poets come in and be able to have places like this to read and to write and to share and to develop their craft in the way that they do. I see so many people on here like 13, 14, 15, 16, and I read them and I'm just like, these are really, really good. These are really good poets. And so I do share your thankfulness in this, where you speak about specifically these specific groups and these specific teams and these specific people that help you not only with your in your journey with poetry, but also your journey as yourself and becoming comfortable and open to be able to share and take part. And it is a beautiful thing to feel accepted and to feel appreciated on both ends. This is a beautiful piece.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And your poem's on the board.
I don't want to interrupt Sky real quick. Or, oops, sorry, Sky. If it's okay with you, Crystal, is it good if I go, or do you need me to hang around?
That's completely up to you. After your poem is read, you can stay or you can go. You've got your own life.
I'm a little overwhelmed right now, so I was just going to go and listen later.
Okay.
If that's okay with everyone. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Have a safe and have
nice
a
hearing
good
your
night.
Comments.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is Sky still there?
Oh yeah, I didn't know if you were ready for me. I'm a person of direction. I'm a person of direction. Okay, so mine is a little bit more depressing than Miss Sunshine. So I apologize, but there's love and there's butterflies. It's just all shaded in darkness. This is called Butterfly Gold. And actually, I think it was for Deb's contest or something for Deb. Butterfly Gold by Sky Darkholm. There are times I watch the slow lick of fire in the dark, a butterfly gold with thin tinsel tresses curling to smoke, a wick that wilts but never buries itself where I cannot reach. It is there I find you, among champagne diamonds and amber flecks, your laugh like crystal quartz cut raw, as I swallow its sangria sweet and silver-tipped poison. It is here I lose myself in time, to coffee and pastry sunrises, breathe in dandelion orange and sapphire rays, an endless diameter of light carrying good morning smiles and butterscotch kisses. But soon, as always, when fingertips reach out to hold ardor's dance and palm, its harmonica hymns still and quiet against the heart, I remember the hollow that buried itself, that burned itself into the marrow of my bones, then turned cold as I tried to hide from memories tucked in all those dark places, still holding the candles you lit. And like snowflakes and winter wreaths, I wrap myself in its chill, like the armor I once saw reflected in jade meadows and amber-flecked gemstones. But it seems no matter the time that has passed, the embers I try to stifle or the laughter that weeps, I always find you like a butterfly gold vanishing in the dark. And poem.
Wow. I feel like I'm going to be a Deb. I don't care. But there are several. One, I like the title already, Butterfly Gold. As soon as I saw that, I just like how that sounded. But I can tell that this was something for Dip because there's a lot of colors in here, like the dandelion orange or the butterscotch kisses, the sangria sweet. There's like just everywhere in there. Or the champagne diamond. I loved that one. But yeah, this just kind of speaks of that whole kind of having that kind of love, but then just kind of losing it. Just all those past memories that kind of just fade in the back of your head, kind of just fade into that darkness. But I love the metaphor that you went with, though, like the butterfly gold just vanishing in the dark. And if you do think about that, think about how fragile a butterfly's wings are. And then thinking about that, just like crumbling to pieces kind of thing. That's the visuals that came through my mind when you were reading this. But I really like this, and it has that, like, that sadness that, I don't know, it's that sadness you want to just keep reading. You don't get overly depressed. But yeah, this is really, really beautiful, Sky. And let me get you some comments. I'll start with Frank.
Thank you, Chris.
Yeah. I have to say that the poem itself is it is a nostalgic piece, but at the same time, it's a beautiful piece. It's enriched with deep layers of emotions, and above all, recollection. And I like the analogy there to the butterfly there, because it almost feels at times that we can identify at times with the beauty of a relationship, whether it's even in this case with memories. We can always identify ourselves, as that free-spirited butterfly. But I really like the metaphors in this piece here. The imagery throughout the film was extraordinary. It came up with some wonderful, wonderful, I would say, metaphors. My favorite ones are the ones, champagne, diamonds, and the crystal quartz, and of course the sangria suite. You really, really elaborated this poem here with a lot of depth here. And there's so many other lines here, written here, metaphors that were exquisitely well written. I have to say this was just a great poem overall. Just had all the wonderful elements of creativity as well.
Thank you, Frank.
You're welcome.
Great comment, Frank. And Deb, your comment?
Excuse me, sorry. This is one of my favorites from Sky. I actually... I remember when she read it, and I remember saying, "Well, there you go. There's a double save." It's like from start to finish, the images, the feelings, that the metaphors, ditto to everything that you guys have already said. But like, you could just pick a phrase or a vision from each section. Or a sound, like the harmonic hymns, and I mean, there's so much in this one, and towards the end, I'm trying, there it is, I wrap myself in its chill like an armor I once saw reflected in jade meadows and amber flake gemstones. It's just gorgeous all the way through, and then the ending is just like a stunner. I always find it like a butterfly gold, balancing in the dark. And it's just like balancing in the dark. The ending is extremely powerful. So it was just like you hang in every sentence that you say while you're reading this one. It was a brilliant use of all the, I think there was like three or four prompts you had to combine with this one, and you did it brilliantly, Sky.
Thank you. There were six.
There you go. There you go.
You like it.
So.
And that makes you're a slave driver. Thank you.
I
don't often follow them all, so I just got... I'm a rule breaker.
Great comment, Deb, and thank you, Sky. Sky, do you have any shows that you need to plug before we move on?
Oh, yeah. Well, let me say that, because I know Stephen is out here, so let me go over to Poetic Slice. Tonight at 10, they have the Poetic Inklings over on A Poetic Slice of Life. And Kay's got some great artwork from Silvio Pellicero. I hope I said that right. Beautiful, beautiful artwork. And so they go live at 10. My next show is on Saturday, and I'm going to be doing the film, where am I? The Black Cauldron. I don't know where I am, but I know it's The Black Cauldron. All right, here we go. So The Black Cauldron, it's a 1985 animated film. It's also a comic book. It's also based on a series of five books that I love and have read by Alexander Lloyd. The Black Cauldron is part two, and my favorite is still the Book of Three. But you can write to any of the scenes, themes, characters, or quotes. Of course, quotes you can go anywhere you want, even if off-topic from the film itself. And I did something different. There's actually book quotes in the link because I really like the book. So have fun, write me a poem, and I'll see you Saturday.
All right. Good plug. yeah, I don't know how much longer you're going to stay, but I just want to make sure I got all the Sky shows all taken care of. I do have a Heavenly Angels poem out on the board, and Deb, I know she asked for you to read. Do you mind?
Not at all.
All right. Well, it's on the board whenever you're ready.
Okay, this is a collaboration between Easy Rider and Heavenly Angel, and it's called My Valentine Forever. In case I said Easy Rider, it's Easy Rider. Here we go. My love, you have captured my very heart. You are the reason for my every smile. I know you. And I, darling, will never part. You made my whole life worthwhile. Every day with you is Valentine's Day. Just because we're together, I will show you in every possible way that I intend to make this last forever. We will ride into eternity, you and I, my love. You are my one and only and my best friend. My love is what dreams and hopes are made of. I will cherish this love we have until the end. Once my life was a blank page until you came, like a poem where love began to rhyme and flow. Since that day, my life's not been the same. You filled my page, set my heart all aglow. How true your words of love have turned out. I never doubted you one moment, my dear. This feeling we share is what love's all about. I'll cherish each moment that I hold you near. You have filled my page with a love so divine. Every day, for always, you'll be my Valentine. And Paul.
Awesome read, Deb. I do remember this one. As soon as I saw it, I don't know, I think I probably read about two or three times, I'm not sure, but when I was reading my comment, and I was talking about how much I love the part about the blank page, that so many come in our lives to fill our chapters, and the thing is that I never thought that I thought I would, but I didn't know exactly when I would find someone to write the chapters with, and probably a lot of people know I have written in recent time, but so now when I'm reading this poem, that's the only person I'm thinking about, right? When I read this, like, I was grinning and smiling through it all, so thank you, Sandy, for that, I think, but I still do love that part, though, that when my life was a blank page until you came, and the poem of our love began to rhyme and flow, and all filling those blank pages set my heart all aglow. Like, that is the truth when you are with the right person. If you want to use it fast for a metaphor, it's like a poem that just keeps flowing and keeps going. And it's pretty much turns into a whole novel that turns into, well, War and Peace, pretty much. But not exactly War and Peace, not that, but like how big the size of the book can become. But, yeah, I really think that this is just beautiful, and I loved hearing it again. And, Deb, you read it. You want to make a comment?
Yeah, you know, they write – I'm losing my voice. They write so flawlessly together that it just flowed. When I was done reading, I was trying to – pick sections that I might put, but it's like a total package. It's just beautiful and emotional and loving, and then now look, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. It only has 13 awards, that like five of are gold. So it's like that really, really speaks to how well they write together. I don't think anybody could read this or hear this and not be touched by the sentiment and that skill. And it's always my honor to be her reader, or in this case, their reader. Great job, Yicho.
Great comment, Deb. And Frank, how about your comment?
Yes, I'm gonna say pretty much the same line here. This was just it's another display here of a beautiful poetry. When you collab with someone and you share sentiments, you know, even on a poetic level, there is that bond, you know, that connection here, and it's obviously palpable in this poem here. You know, I wrote down that I could really sense, and what I enjoyed was the power and truth in the words. And I felt that that beautiful bond of intimate love here expressed in this poem. I don't know to what extent the relationship is between them, but it really seems very much a very powerful one. It's just a beautiful poem.
Okay, comment, Frank. And Guy, you make the last comment. We'll move to the next poem.
Oh, yes. So, of course, I just adore Sandy and her writing. And Easy Rider, I mean, I've been friends with him, I think, as long as I've been on EP, which has been a while now, Poetical Friends. And I think that I've seen a lot of collabs done with her, with these two, and they're always so seamless. And I am not always, I find that it isn't, for me at least, it isn't always easy to collab. I'm a little bit of a control freak, but it's beautiful when two people can let down those guards and let down and give up that control, because it's really hard to give up the control of your pen and to trust it in someone else's hands. At least it is for me. Although I do have people that I do like to regularly collab with that I feel that safe place with, and obviously these two feel that safe place, able to strip away, their guards and their walls and just write together and meld together beautifully, because they do every single time. I mean, this is definitely well to the season of February, and a wonderful sentiment of not only Valentine's Day, but every day should be Valentine's Day, or it is when you're with somebody that you care about. And you could even hear it in your voice, Crystal, when you were speaking. You know, as soon as you said something, I'm like, oh, we're going there. And I smiled a little bit, because I got to tell you, whenever I scroll that place that I scroll very rarely, if ever I see you two, it just brings a smile, because it makes you so happy just to see people in that place and in that and that wrapped in love. And whether it's in writing, or whether it's in a photo, or whether it's in a smile made in a comment over air, it fills you with happiness too for them. So Sandy, this is a beautiful write, wonderfully done together, and keep them coming. And that is a lot of trophies. I'm just saying, that's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well,
she's also
been here 17 years,
I think having one poem that probably has
several awards makes sense.
Yeah.
I've been here for 10, but my oldest poem is 2, because I had a little fit 2 years ago, but amazing.
I know I just received a third gold on one of my poems, and I was like, 3? I was like, are they sure? Like, it freaked me out to see 3 gold on one poem, and then it has like silver, and I think it has every award on it, and I'm like, are we sure here? Because like, you like you see that many medals and you don't think it's that good, but I don't know. But to be honest, that one from Sandy and Easy Rider is, so yeah.
I'm going to take this moment just to say good night and thank you. I had a wonderful time. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you could call, guys. Good hearing your voice.
Thank you. And
you can pick me up from sushi at the gas station.
Oh, I'd love to.
You're the one that said it.
Gas station sushi. I know. That's more Steven's thing. Oh, my gosh.
I know it
good
is.
Good night, guys. Yeah. Good night.
All right. I have got, which I think it kind of flew up on the board. I've got K's, because I'm going to do K and Steven. They've both got SoundClouds. And I guess after that, I'll make sure that Deb and Frank are read, which I know, Frank, you've got a SoundCloud, too. Where was K's? Here we go. Let's go ahead and hit play.
Hey, Seamstress. By Kay. The drops of water magnifies the stillness. Workbox of bone-tired, vanquished blushes. Whispers through willows of a trounced sky. Nursing the child who harbors city walls of radius untouchable. The staircase spirals its crawler's intentions. The darkened hallways compass the root's directions. Scars. Until you, intertwine in the needlework that fabrics the hillside of Muse. Traced upon the divinity of background visages. Cupid's arrow shot is the markman's ship of the gunfire discharged. Its string harp, pewter in the fog of our baptismal home, beguiling like the mottled, multicolored moiré on a spring afternoon, the tarot's a handmaid's cards, dealt, and poem.
That's a bit of a brevity, I'd say, for Kay. I don't know, I was thinking that. But yeah, I like the metaphor she went in as well. And then when you read her author's notes, you can see it's a poem to Stephen, which I think is really beautiful. But yeah, it definitely gives me that thought of, like, what you're thinking in, like, a sewing method. Like, it seems like everything is knitting the way that you want to, and then all of a sudden the next thing you know, it's unraveled, but then somehow when it becomes unraveled, it's sewn into something even more beautiful. Like it, like your whole life just kind of switches. I don't know. That's kind of just what I got from it, though, about the like the changing of fabric or the changing of or even the way they probably knit something together. But it does kind of give me that thought of the way that love can be knitted together into something beautiful. So I love this, Kay, and I like the metaphor that you went with. So, yeah, I'll get a comment from Deb first.
Yeah, you know, I was reading the author's notes while you were commenting. And I was like, oh, the author's notes are as sweet as the poem. And I like that this photo of the couple sitting there all snuggling together. Make, you know, like it's them. And the sentiment of them snuggled up there together. And I could see, well, it probably wouldn't be a book nowadays. It would be his phone or something, and he'd be snuggled up to Kay, and she'd be sitting there. Maybe she would be reading a book, so maybe she should hand it to her. The heck with the picture. The sentiment in the poem is really cool. Traced upon the divinity of background visages, Cupid's arrow shot, its markmanship, but the gunfire discharged. I like the idea of Cupid's markmanship, like, he was spot on. He got it right, and they're snuggled together still, and still friends, and still in love, and it's very sweet. I thought it was a beautiful brevity.
Awesome comment, Deb. Yeah, I was kind of thinking that too, but it still could be a book, I feel like, because I know Kay and Steven, they like their books, so I feel like they could pass a book or read a book one to another. but I feel like it could be their phone, especially if they were on all poetry, giving the phone back and forth. Or I think Kaylee uses a tablet, so just passing the tablet back and forth. But awesome comment. Let me get a comment from Frank, and then we'll go to the next poll.
Yes, I'm going to have to say that this is just a wonderful display and illustration of what, love is, in a sense of its endurance, its endearment, I was looking, scrolling down, how long they've been together as a couple, and it really just is a testimony to that, their devotion, their affection towards each other. But I also appreciate, what I appreciate about this poem is just the whole notion there, of thinking of what the future will be, or what, being old and growing old with that person would be like. I can certainly envision that, and I can certainly understand that. It's one of these things where you never know, You can only live in the present. You can never know the future. But when you have something so solid, solidified as they do, then there is that reassurance there through their love and their bond of that, of being able to envision, 30 years down the road, and when they're much older, still around, still alive, and still, as a couple there. So this really made me think about just pondering that, And I thought the poem was just excellent. She always has a way of writing that, although she uses metaphors superbly, she does throw in a lot of beautiful, I would say, personal insight into her poems as well.
Great comment, Frank.
Hello.
And thank you, Kay, for bringing that. And I have now Steven, because I was going to do them back to back. And let me go ahead and grab his audio. There it is.
Feathered embrace expels stress without a trace, by Stephen 76. In a world where veiled, serrated knives are passed atwixt souring glances, landing between shoulder blades, digging deep for tottering cardio pumps, where wetted, sporked idioms carve out chest cavities, scoop out innards, and leave them on the floor like sinewy, moribund pumpkin seeds, stealing breath from collapsed lungs, and pushing puce barns from crow-footed corners. Middle-digit birds dig holes with unfiled fingernails into arched, defenseless spinal cords, paralyzing epochs and delighting in trophied blood beneath goose-pimpled skin. My many times mended heartstrings play a joyous, corded song of underappreciated, smiling, translucent dragonfly wings and cozy carmine cardinal feathers that greet me between shabby door jams, and welcome me to a home of fur-covered purrings, and where it is Christmas, Thanksgiving, and Valentine's wrapped into one every day. End poem.
Well, this is very sweet. And, you can tell in a lot of the imagery that it is written for Kay, because there was many times where I saw something that also makes me think of her as well. But yeah, I think this is beautiful, and it's definitely different from what he normally does write, so you can tell that he is writing about Kay. But I think I really like the ending, though, about welcoming to a home of fur-covered purring, thinking about their cats, and then talking about just like where it feels like the holidays and feels like home every single day. And that is the feeling that you do need to have when you have someone in your life that makes you feel that way. But yeah, this is really beautiful, a beautiful, loving tribute to Kay. I definitely enjoyed it. And I will start. I'll start with Frank this time.
Yes. As with the previous poem, this poem is also a poem that displays a sense of veneration, of adoration Stephen, for Kay. And I thought these two poems are very apropos. They're very suitable tonight. And I'm very much I have to say, listen to this one as well. You know, you get to, you do get more of, you know, that image there of how strong their bond is, you know, that love there. And this poem here is another, is an example of that as well. I like, he throws in at times some alliteration in this piece here and metaphors as well, but he does bring it to the general notion of what he's displaying here, you know, love, you know, love that he shares not only for Kay but also for his cats there. And that I've gotten to know that type of, you know, that type of adoration they both share for their cats. And I really think it's a beautiful sentiment, you know, what he's expressing here. You know, just he's giving us, as well as what the previous poem, giving us insight, giving us, you know, a bit of what their life is, you know, as a couple, you know, and their intimate nature, I would say, their intimate settings, I would say. So this is just a beautiful, another beautiful poem. I really like the way it ended with the reference there to the seasons there, you know, the Christmas, Thanksgiving, Valentine's, you know, it's all wrapped up in one still. Every day, as you said there, it's beautiful, beautiful sentiments expressed with this poem.
Great comment, Frank. And Deb, I'll have you comment, and then I'm putting your poem on the board.
Okay. Well, for starters, I want to say I'm excited because I had taken Stephen's profile picture and enhanced it with all the little hearts, and I'm happy that he likes it so much that he's put it in, if I'm not mistaken, more than one poem, a couple now. And I love the photo of them with the hearts off through it, because with their heads all together, it's already oozing the love and then the little hearts. So then to take that and give us all the details that he added here and all the metaphors with little things like pumpkin seeds and stealing breath from collapsed lungs, you got to wonder how many little tidbits are stuff that, say, only the two of them would know, but that come out really great in a poem. Towards the end there, he says, "My many times mended heartstrings play a joyous chorded song of unappreciated, smiling, translucent dragonfly wings." Now that one I get because I know that, you know, the dragonflies are one of her, like on butterflies, she's dragonflies. So like all the little pieces that he would put in there that would, I'm sure, put memories or times and examples in Kay's mind. So it's a great little gem, and it's another 10, and he's knocking on the door towards 310s. I remember when I was waiting to see when he was going to break the 100. Now he's belting them out on the daily basis. Really awesome share.
Great comment, Deb. I still have not quite gotten that many tans, but I love when I see other people have. I try my best, but I don't think Otto Rink likes me very much. But oh well. But thank you, Stephen, for bringing that poem.
The imagery as well that you throw into your poetry as well, you know, and the usage at times of you know, the diction that you use, words as well, they tend to be also reasons for perhaps getting a 10.
Yeah, that might be true. I don't know. I mean, we could ask Deb. She has like 831. Reading it on the side.
No, the reason I say that, because when I used to write, really, really serious poetry back in those, I used to get 10s. But nowadays, I just don't have time to elaborate my poetry. So that's the reason why I know from experience, from what I've seen of others who've told me as well.
Yeah, I could probably find ways of making it into a 10. I normally would just rather write and not worry about it. And if it comes out as a 7 point something or an 8 or something, it doesn't bother me. I'm just like, even if it comes out even a 1, I'm like, okay, well, I wrote my poem. I'm not using it to impress anybody. Like, it's just what needs to come out and what I'm writing. So I guess that's just my view on it. But yeah, Deb, I've got your poem ready whenever you're ready.
Okay, Toki. And today's my 7th anniversary with All Poetry.
Okay. Oh, wow. Happy anniversary, yeah.
Thank you. All right, this is called Bleeding Hearts Weep for the Butterflies. And here we go. Dusk dims the views chasing the sun. Nightshades eclipse all the light from day. Starlight freckles blemish the horizon, striping the sky licorice black on gray. Traveling cold masses freeze the air, frosting milkweed blossoms that die. Wings seize as two green eyes stare, migrating butterflies fall from the sky. Weeping as the night breezes croon, neath a willow tree the storm brews. Crimson droplets spill from the moon. Teardrops bleed red from the blues. And poem.
Kind of in awe for a minute there. And I was also reading in your author's notes as well. But for one, I do like the picture, which I believe Kay did a show on the woman that does those pictures, which I also have written to her pictures before because I've found them, and I always find them intriguing, especially when with the heart. A heart is always in something, somewhere and somewhere another. But I do love that you brought out the color as usual. But I think I really just like the ending, though. Crimson droplets spill from the moon, teardrops bleed red from the blue. There's some kind of a little form of sadness in there, but at the same time, there's like a beauty found in it as well. But I think you just did a beautiful job. I also love that you put in a willow tree, because there's something, I don't know what it is, there's something always poetic to me about willow tree. When I see it in a poem, I just kind of go there. But yeah, this is really beautiful. Bleeding heart sweet for the butterflies. And of course, you got the butt. I mean, I know that's my whole show, but but yeah, this is truly beautiful.
Thank you so much.
And, oh, also, happy anniversary as well. I didn't forget on that part either. I actually was just looking to see if, I wasn't thinking you were lying, but I was going back, I was like, is it really tonight? And then I looked, it is. I know I had mine a couple of months ago, which it was crazy to me as well how long I've been on this site. Frank, do you want to leave a comment? And then I'll go ahead and get yours ready.
Yeah, just by all means. You know, there is here where I'm at here, the state that I live at presently, we do get monarch butterflies. You know, they migrate here from, I believe, from Central America and from Mexico, if I'm not mistaken. They have a yearly migration, so I was thinking about that. It's been a while, of course, that I've not seen them. But when I do, I do see them from time to time. But this poem really speaks about the pride as well of these butterflies and how much they migrate, you know, what they... You know, this whole, what I really enjoyed about the poem was the imagery. It's very striking. You know, it had a tincture of melancholy, but it really just personified, really, for me, you know, the inspiring prompt there really made this poem even much more appealing. You know, it was just very striking. I thought it was just it was a beautiful poem, and it was mournful. You know, it just makes you think about, you know, how much we can value nature. We don't think about ourselves, you know, we think of others, in this case, butterflies. Those are beautiful creatures. I just thought you did a wonderful, wonderful job here with this poem here. It was I have to say this is one of my favorite poems of yours that I've actually heard you read, make that from just about, so butterflies in itself. It's an amazing poem.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Oh, you're welcome.
All
awesome comment, Frank, and thank you, Deb, for bringing that. I knew that you, I figured you were going to go through like 1,000 butterfly poems, picking the right one. No, I'm kidding. I kind of had the same thing, though, where I was like, which one am I going to pick? Because I knew I had a lot of them. All right. Frank, I have yours on the board, and let me find your SoundCloud, which is right in front of me. There you go.
My butterfly, open your wings and fly with me upon a flight of a lover's escapade into endless fields of grape vineyards beyond the broad hills of a countryside. Fascinated by the radiant sunlight and the colorful array of monarch butterflies, then embark on a seasonal odyssey again as they seek to reach their final destination. Sojourning in the rows of the olive trees, as the wind blows and softs the vines, the blue and wine grape flowers permeate the wonderful scent of nature's delight. The wind subsides to a mellifluous cadence with the gentle breeze of the calm nightfall, and bluebirds roost in the nearby boughs when the fireflies illuminate the dark sky. Where a rainbow at dawn will be awakened over the new horizon of the drifting clouds, witnessing the stunning metamorphosis of hundreds of butterflies coming out of their cocoons. My butterfly, will I call out, be with me till the mating season ends. In the poem,
wow. Yeah, I always do enjoy, I know I sound like I say that all the time, but I do enjoy the SoundClouds that you make all the time. But I do love how you said that, open your wings and fly with me into the flight of a lover's escapade. But yeah, I think this does just kind of have like that tad of romance that you would find, but also just kind of almost like telling of the journey that you would go on, like where you'd find new horizons, and sometimes you would end up in the darkest of places, but sometimes end up in this wonderland or rainbow, kind of talking about like the on and off things you would go through, the different seasons you would go through. That's at least what came to my head hearing this, but I do think that it is very beautiful, and you have a lot of imagery, and that's like you give really good imagery throughout this. But yeah, I think it's really beautiful, Frank, and you definitely got to the prompt of love and butterflies. So.
Yeah. first of all, thank you. Thank you very much for that. The poem, obviously, is a reference there to the butterflies, and uniquely what I did in this poem is I interjected myself as the butterfly. You know, there is, I'm not sure if you know, that there is butterflies, you know, in California, if I'm not mistaken. When they go through the mating, you know, season, and they come together during a period of time, you know, of the season, and they do mate, you know. So I basically, what I did in this poem is I put myself in the, I would say, I wouldn't say the shoes, the wings of a butterfly, and just imagine myself going through a courtship there, and you know, doing the mating season as a butterfly.
Yeah, I can see that too, because you kind of can sense it as well, kind of like you're going into that type of adventure and seeing the world and stuff, and seeing, that's what I was kind of meaning, like the different seasons changing, things like that. That's really cool. All right, I'll get Deb to give you a poem, or poem, a comment. I should give you a whole poem.
I don't know if I have a whole poem, but I would like to comment. Well, of course, my butterfly, I like your title. I like that you have one, your butterfly. Open your wings and fly with me upon a flight of a lover's escape. The beginning there, open your wings and fly with me. Right away, it put my, I have a quote on my profile page, I am the butterfly and she is me, spread your wings and follow me. So it sort of put me in that kind of a headspace where, you know, to follow someone, to be in flight with them, very gorgeous. And then you're picturing the countryside as you're flying over. And I like that you specifically mentioned the monarch butterflies in there, on their flight, their season, as they embark on an attempt to get through the temperatures and survive. I like the mellifluous cadence. I can't say it.
Mellifluous,
yeah,
that's okay. It's just another word for sweet and smooth.
I'm not even going to try to butcher it again. I'm just going to go. This stanza is really beautiful. Where our rainbow at dawn will be awakened over the new horizon of the drifting clouds, witnessing the stunning metamorphosis of hundreds of butterflies coming out of their cocoons, and it is a stunning metamorphosis. They just burst, and then it's like a flurry of wings, and there's nothing quite like the group birth of butterflies, or maybe birth isn't the right word, but when that caterpillar changes to that butterfly, it's miraculous and gorgeous, and great job. I liked hearing it again very much.
Well, I appreciate that, and I just wanted to say that I would stay on more, but I'm going to stop over there and read and do my poem over there for Stephen Kay for a bit before I wrap it up a little bit. I just wanted to say I don't want to leave both of you alone there on the airways, but I just want to say thank you, as always, for sharing the airwaves.
Do you think you can stay for one more so that you and I can both comment on crystals and then go? Would that be cool?
Yes, of course. Crystal, go ahead and put your phone up there. You know, there's no need to be shy about that. Go ahead. I can stick for that one then.
I had a Phil, but I guess I can go ahead and put mine.
Well, how about you being able to get the last two? Because you and I can both comment on the last two, but I want you to get two comments too. I'm getting bossy.
That's okay.
All right. Well, I'll go ahead and read mine. I think it actually is to one of your picture prompts at one time. I'm not sure. But I just typed in butterflies in the search and just picked one. And then I was like, well, this one mostly has to do with what my topic was tonight. So this is called Stomach Full of Butterflies, Falling in Love Again. Knots twisted together like a pretzel, her irises blink rapidly and dilate. Goldenrod sunshine glows on his face, and it feels like fate. Coffee grains of sand stain their feet as mossy winds brush her ankles. Lime grasses tickle the butterfly wings, and her face shines like a cantaloupe candle. Clouds blanketed to blind measures of broken mirror pieces in the grass. Crossroads forged to decisions of the love they forgot in the past. Morning dew emerges to her face once again of a memory she can't remember when. Wings cocooned, wrapped, and shuttered, with those butterflies in that stomach, in the stomach fluttered. And poem.
Awesome. And yes, it was to one of mine, Crystal. And I'm gonna read what I wrote when I heard you the first time. It says, "You are so great at brevity, and oh my goodness, the emotion in this is palpable. You always amaze me, wise beyond your years, my dear. Fantastic poetry. I had to save it. Thank you for writing for my show." But you have this way of, I mean, I know we all say it, your wisdom shows and writing beyond your years, but you do. You have this maturity in your writing that just shows and amazes me. And, like, I don't even, clouds blanketed to blind measures of broken mirror pieces in the grass, crossroads forged to decisions of the love they've, just the thought of forgotten love is just so gut-wrenching. So with four little stanzas, you packed a ton of emotion in. You're a great poet, period, but you really can kick some butt with brevity, just saying. What did you think, Frank?
Well, I would say encore there, David. I applaud that. I agree. I mean, I think Crystal has age for me is always one of those things that I think wisdom as well can be obtained, not regardless of age. I do echo the sentiments that she has a vision there as a poet is. That's really very admirable. You know, I really have to say that I admire your vision for not only for abstract poems, but also prompts that are very much centered on a theme, whether it's, in this case, love. You know, this is a beautiful poem. You know, I really enjoy when you write these types of poems here. You know, I know you write some dark pieces as well, you write other genres, but I like when you write these type of pieces because I sense I'm feeling your heart in this piece. It almost feels like I'm going beyond just the vision of what you're portraying here. You're offering us here an insight into your heart in this piece here. And I know you used the imagery there, the butterflies, but it almost seems that wonderful line there of morning dew emerges to her face once again. I know it's in a third person here, but it almost seems so relatable, so personal, this poem here. And I know you wrote to that quote of private eyes, of whole notes. The poem is just a beautiful demonstration of poetic wit, no, accent, not wit, poetic, ability.
Thank you, Deb, and thank you, Frank.
You're welcome, mm-hmm. And I wish I would stay on, if I could, I would have stayed on longer for a little bit, but this is the weekday for me as well.
Well, you made it quite through. So there's only two poems left, so you made it quite through.
Yeah, I'll completely say the comment with Crystal for me too, so that it's perfect.
All right. Okay, my friends, take care, Deb. All love and respect to all of both of you. Take care, and I'm going to stop by over there for a bit over there, and just a great show. Crystal, I don't know when your next show is. Send me a message there or tell me when your next show is.
It won't be till next month. I'm only doing one show a month now, but
all right.
Yeah, it'll be in the middle week of March, but yeah.
All right. Tell me what just give me your theme when you know.
All right, I will. Thank you, Frank.
Take care.
No problem.
Take care, Deb. Take care and stay safe, both of you.
You too.
Okay, the poem I originally had on here was for Phil, and then after that I did have Marius's poem, which he does not have a SoundCloud for, but I believe he does have, we have rights to read him, I think. I'm thinking. But I went ahead and put Phil's on there, and then we can go ahead and read for Marius after that, and that'll be it. So let me find SoundCloud. There it is.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called For You. If I could sing a love song that would heal all wounds, I would dedicate it all for you. Rainbows and sunshine I would wrap up in a silk ribbon and give them as a present for you. If I could write a perfect poem, I would write it in a romantic style on golden-edged paper with an eagle-feathered quill, cover it with rose petals, and deliver it to you on a white stallion that will gallop faster than the wind. But this will be all foolishness, because love is more than this. Love holds its head up when we are feeling down. Love is always there to encourage when things seem to go wrong. Shows itself to be tolerant in a raging sea of despair. Love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So here, my love, is my poem for you, written on paper, sent straight from my heart, all the way to yours. End poem.
Wow. I'm lost, and well, not lost, but like lost in the reading. I didn't want it to stop. I've read this poem before, but this is the first time I've heard him read it. I believe it is, because I remember before it, he didn't have a SoundCloud connected to it where I could hear him read it, but he always does have this very soothing kind of voice when he reads. I feel like sometimes when I read, I'm like nervous and I'm just kind of flying through it. But I feel like he's enunciating each word, like letting each word go through. But I would say this definitely makes me think of, especially towards the end, love always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perveres. It makes me think of the scripture of love is patient, love is kind type thing. That just went in my mind when I was reading all that. I don't know why. But it is true that no matter what necessarily you go through in life, whether it's a bumpy road or not, you've always got that love there to encourage. And it doesn't always necessarily have to be from in a romantic way. It can mean in a friend way, or just even acquaintances can show love in some way, or a stranger. A lot of strangers can sometimes show small acts of love that can can change a lot. So I feel like he displayed that really well. But whoever he's writing to, you can feel the love, the emotion just bleeding on the paper to them. So great job, Phil. And I always love seeing you write for the shows and stuff. And this is very beautiful. Deb, what did you think?
About getting lost in his voice. I had wrote at the bottom here, I said, amazing work as always. And Crystal and I were so engrossed in your voice that we were kind of sad when the poem ended. He has, the way he pronounces his words and then the words themselves, of course, cover it with rose petals and deliver it to you on a white stallion that will gallop faster than the wind. Just the visuals of the rose petals and the thought of him galloping on that beautiful white horse. I mean, it's just breathtaking in imagery. And as always, I'm impressed. Love a great poet. And I'm hearing what you're saying about his poems before, because like I've been his reader a bunch of times, countless times, and I've always been impressed with his writing. But once he started making those sound clouds, I think he addicted many of us to his voice, and I don't know what we would do if they stopped allowing sound clouds, because it's always, always a treat to listen to him read.
Yeah, I know what you mean. A lot of times I don't do SoundCloud, so sometimes I don't have necessarily time, or I have a lot of background noise normally. I normally have like a dog barking, a train, cars, something, and then I try and put music in it, and then sometimes that takes even longer. So, but typically I would do them more. But I don't know where Phil does his, but there's like no sound in the background, just his soothing voice. I'm like, he must have a very quiet space. Because normally, everywhere I go, it's normally very loud. So I don't know. Maybe he has some like quiet corner in his house or something where he does his YouTube and SoundCloud. I'm not sure.
Right. Just glad he does.
I am too. Because like, I know what you mean. Because I also read for Frank for a really long time. I was looking at Frank on the board for Phil for a really long time. As well, and normally it was always, I need a reader, and then he started, like, bringing the SoundClouds and stuff, and bringing the audio and things, and it's helped a lot, and I really like, hearing his voice and stuff, because he's a fantastic reader. Like, not everyone has that gift of being able to read aloud, and it's really good. Like, when you have that gift, you need to use it. But,
I agree. Yeah.
I have Marius is on the board, and then that's the last poem, and we'll do acknowledgments and everything. I'll go ahead and read for Marius, because I know I had you read for Angel before, and here we go. This one is called Broken Heart. If I were the sky, I would wait for you to rise, to feel your soft and tender lips kissing my eyes. I am just the earth, and when you rise, I feel the pain. I turn to dust and cry. If I were a composer, I would write musical notes in a bouquet, and I would lay it down at your feet in a beautiful song. If I were a painter, I would paint on the canvas red butterfly the colors of love. I am just a romantic poem, poet in love, and my love's poetry book is forgotten, full of dust on an old library shelf. If I could fly, I would pick you up a bunch of shining stars, and I would make each one, each sunrise, a precious gift for you in the morning. I would put the rainbows at your feet, and I would shout out my love for you from mountaintops every day, only to hear the echoing responding, I love you. I am just a lost soul, and I walk in the rain trying to hide my tears among the raindrops that somehow caresses my broken heart. And poem. I was a little bit getting teary. I mean, not teary. I feel like my voice was cracking a little bit because it definitely is sad. I love the parts. Like, this poem and Phil's are actually very similar when they were talking about the beginning parts about if I were a sky, if I were a composer, if I were a painter. And Phil had the same thing, but his was more in the way of to the person. And then this way, it was just kind of to the person, but then got into a sad way. I am impressed that both of them are very similar, and that's how we end the show. I thought of that when I started reading. I was like, these are very similar to each other. But I do like how he went with this, though. He said, if I were a composer, if I could fly, if I were a sky, the things that he would do. I love how he starts it out, though, of your soft, tender lips kissing my eyes. Not kissing his lips, kissing his eyes, which you kind of have like those type of butterfly kisses between eyelashes almost comes to my head. But yeah, this is truly beautiful, but also that very sad, broken heart kind of poem. But you can see the pain in it, but you also can see the love in it as well. And to me, that is really, really beautiful. But yeah, this is, I don't know what else to say besides it being really beautiful and sad. But yeah. Deb, what do you think?
Well, excuse me, for starters, I think that you just helped prove why I don't ever read my poems that are submitted for my show ahead of time. Because while you were reading, yes, I could hear you feeling the sentiment in his words, and it changed your voice when it hit you. And talk about a powerful pen to be able to render the reader's voice to reflect the emotion you were trying to show. I hope I said that right. But like, if I were a composer, I would write musical notes in a bouquet, and I would lay it down at your feet in a beautiful song. I mean, if I could fly, I would pick you a bunch of shining stars, and I'd make each sunrise a precious gift for you in the morning. The declaration of love is oozing from here. Marius, I do believe this is my new favorite by you. A breathtaking poem and great read, Crystal. I really like the fact that he touched you so much that your voice changed while you read.
I know, and I heard it too, and I was like, wait, what's happening? But like, that happens, like when you're reading something and it finally dawns on you of how, because I first started it out with, even though I know it's going to be a sad poem, I started it out in that loving way, and then as it went on, I don't know what, just kind of like I knew. But I do know what you mean, though, the whole not reading the poems before, because I do like to be surprised of what people bring. You can get like a hint or whatever from the title, but as far as like, because sometimes the title can be deceiving. You can read a title and it look all happy and cheerful, and the next thing you know, it's depressed or like very sad at the end. You don't know. So I mean, you can kind of get the title from this broken heart that it was going to be sad, but at the same time, it's really beautiful.
And what better gift to the writer, to the poet, than to get to hear that happen when the reader is so affected by your words that you can tell as they read that it touched them. That is my favorite part of doing these shows, which is why, I mean, I've had occasions where somebody said, oh, but I really need you to do this. So, but I would say, I have been doing this for 6 years, and I have read less than a dozen poems ahead of time because of what just happened with you when you read it. I want to be hit with what my gut, honest opinion is. How, if it touches me, I want them to hear the enthusiasm. If it makes me upset or weepy, I want them to hear it. So I think that this was actually a perfect poem to end the night with, because could you imagine hearing it in his voice if it got to you that much, to hear the sentiment in his voice? Maybe that's why this one's not recorded. Maybe it was too powerful.
I thought about that as well. But then again, he may not have had time to put a music or any type of sound to it. I'm not sure. But I know what he means, though. Of not doing that, because I know even though it could be where it is very emotional for someone, but typically I actually have taken my more emotional poems and have actually read them aloud, because I want people to hear that emotion and they know that this is a very personal piece. Or so that way, if they can hear it in my voice, then maybe they also can feel the emotion just as it's meant to be. But yeah, I believe that was the last poem. I'm just double checking over my, yeah, it is. All right. Well, thank you to Deb, of course, for staying with me most of the whole time. But thank you to people that called, Sky, Allie, Frank, who am I missing? but I know, and then Sandy, who's out on the board, and Stephen and Kay that were listening, and everybody, and then Phil and Marius for bringing poems. Thank you. And I know that Stephen and Kay, I know Sky already plugged it, but have their show going on right now, I think, for about probably about another hour or two. So if anyone wants to head out that way, they can. I don't know. Oh, it's, okay. I see it. All right. For the show tomorrow is Sweet Pea Show, which normally is every Thursday, and it is open poetry, open poetry, open poetry. You really got to say it three times. but yeah, it's open poetry with Sweet Pea, which it kind of definitely had me of my show tonight, because I had two different choices, and I feel like that did give people options. So I know why everyone does open poetry, but I do think it it is a good thing to do. But yeah, she has open poetry tomorrow. I don't know what's going on Friday or Saturday. So, Deb, is there anything that you want to plug, maybe you want to plug next Monday? I'm not quite sure what the next shows are after Sweet Peas.
I think we love Friday unless somebody grabs the slot. But on Saturday at 11, it's me and Heather and AP. And we are going to do the poems that we weren't able to do last week on the color, and then for the remainder of the show, it's going to be all Super Bowl talk, baby. So, yeah. And then, on Monday, on personal prompt Monday, it is, what is the date on Monday, Crystal? The Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day. I already see it. It's the Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's the Wizard of Oz. There's a big, giant word bank that you can choose 10 words from. And then there's some really awesome Wizard of Oz art to choose from. And just combine them for me, and I'll see you there at 10 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the pictures now.
Great show with awesome poetry. And Allie, keep calling. We're all thrilled that you've joined
us. I definitely agree with that on that one, Allie. Keep calling, because just hopefully she don't become addicted like that. No, I'm kidding. No, I love it when I see people in the group that have, because I know we've had some people come and go, and then in other groups I've been in as well, people come and go and stuff like that. And then you sometimes see them or hear them here and there, but I always love when I do see people that are here and stuff like that, and continue with the group and things.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to make sure got everything. Did the reporter still sick? I didn't know that.
I've got a few things going on. And he has me worried. It's not nice to worry your little sister, just saying. But seriously, feel better.
Well, I think I did all the
amazing show, Crystal.
And everything. I didn't hear that last part.
I did amazing show, Crystal. I had a really good time. Awesome poems. And
I'm glad.
I appreciate you.
And I appreciate being here. And for as long as it's gone on, I know before long, when we have like our 3-year anniversary or something. Or is it farther than that?
Absolutely, yes. It's coming up in March.
Yeah.
And
March.
It's like
as I thought it was March.
16. Yeah, and it's Sweet Pea's turn to host the festivities, so we will celebrate 3 years in a few weeks. It flew.
As I know, I joined, I think, in later of May. I know it only been like a couple of months since this group was formed, so it's
yep.
Crazy to think 3 years, but it is.
Yep, right? Unbelievable. All right.
Well, I was going to say time to say love and respect and go. Go our little merry ways.
Love and respect.
Good night, Deb, and good night, everyone that's listening.